She was a week early.
She and don't take my emails.
She came here last Tuesday. For real. Last Tuesday.
Okay. She was really getting a head start.
I know, right? I was like, oops. Gotta do better.
So I was going to give you the props for being early today, Miss Corelli, but you know Miss Pace got you beat.
She got me beat. She got me beat.
Well, let's talk about this play because we were just talking off the microphone, Chandra, about this play, Shaking the Rafters. Why don't you give the premise of what this play is about?
Well, it's about a gospel touring group that consists of four sisters, and they're going through the South during the 50s, doing Jim Crow and all of that, and it's their experience in the music industry and the personal trials and the victories, all of that in like 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. And so it's a period piece.
Yes.
Okay. So it's set when again and where again?
It's in the 1950s. In Mississippi, as a matter of fact. We start out in Mississippi.
Okay.
On our way to get to Chicago.
And that was really what it was about back then.
Yes,
trying to get out of the South up to the North to get heard and become known.
Yeah, and for them that wasn't an easy job to do, being that, you know, it was so many, you know, restrictions on traveling. So traveling was a big thing for entertainers during the 50s because of, you know, trains, buses being limited,
right,
on how you could travel. So, you know, having a car was like a big thing for entertainers back then, because if they couldn't get in a hotel, they would basically live in their cars.
Interesting. Now, you know what? I want to ask you, Miss Latrice Pace, because when I saw the premise for this play and what it was all about, I immediately just thought about you and your real life, because you actually come from a real gospel singing family.
Yes.
You know, so did you see like... So
many parallels.
Yeah, I was about to ask that.
It was so many parallels. There were so many times at the beginning of the piece that I had to hold back my emotions, because I have such a passion for my sisters and the road that they paid for me. I have it easy, but they were cramming in a, you know, 15-passenger van trying to get from city to city, and sometimes people not putting them up to really be heard where people can hear them. They would put them up during the offering while people are chatting and talking, or they would, you know, have them come all the way to New York and not have their money, or would give them the change from the offering. So it was a lot of times where I had to hold back a lot of emotions, because they endured a lot. I mean, and it wasn't in the 50s.
Mm.
It was today.
Yeah, we're talking 1990s.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And still haven't, in my opinion, haven't gotten their just due.
Yeah.
So I'm like their number one fan, and I'm always rooting for them. And when I do the Davis sisters, I think about them. And a lot of their triumphs, and even, you know, the triumphs that are to come.
Right. So I want to talk to you both about your individual, you know, the characters that you play. Chandra Corelli, why don't you talk about your character?
Okay, I play Della May, who's the oldest sister. And at this particular time, the passing of their mother just passed. And so she takes the mantle and leads her sisters, you know, lead the career and their lives, as a matter of fact. She, you know, as her, like her mother, she's the leader. She's aggressive. You know, she's a little brassy, but she loves her sisters. The bottom line is that she is a woman of God, and she loves her sisters.
Yeah.
And she really wants the best, and she wants them to go further than they've ever gone before.
Mm.
You know, it's a love-hate relationship, I think, with Della May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's almost like she's fighting a battle within herself as well.
Oh, now you said something right there.
Yeah, because it sounds like she wants to be this godly woman, but she also has to deal with the world and even her own ego.
Yes. I think a lot of the greats have had to do that, who paved the way for us too. Sometimes we meet them and we go like, well, they're not the friendliest person, but it's because they've had to endure so much and be two or three different people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always something that people never really see, is what that person, that individual has to go through through this industry.
To get where they are.
Which is a very grueling industry.
Yes.
And we see the roots of this. And I want to ask you, Latrice Pace, who's your character in this play?
I play the role of Lila. I'm the sister right under Della May. And I'm the type that I just, even though Mama is gone, is like, let's just carry on her legacy and do things the old way. I don't want change. I don't want what Della May wants. But at the beginning, but Della May in this just awe-inspiring performance of Not For Me, she really changes my mind and allow me to see that the life that Mama had is not good enough for her. And she was telling me, it's not good enough for you either. Mm. There is better. So Lila, she gradually comes along and, you know, she's like, okay, you might be onto something. But she longs for that stability, that family, that home, and just want to be a homebody. Don't really want to travel. Mm-hmm. But she's kind of stuck in doing what they've always done.
Right.
And she wanted done that way forever.
Exactly. And that's the challenge right there.
Yeah.
What has the audience... have you guys had a chance to talk to the audience after some performances?
Well, a lot of times they talk to us. I mean, either they, you know, hit us on Facebook or Twitter, or, you know, a lot of times I go out after the performance and talk to the people, and they just love the story.
Yeah, I wanted to say, what is the takeaway that they one of the main takeaways that they walk away?
Well, you know, they walk away with about faith and about family,
and that everybody needs to see it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And two of the talkbacks that we've had.
They always want to share.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because I think they relate to just about every character that's in the show.
Yes.
Right, right. Well, let's talk about the music, because we're talking about an era in gospel music that was very mythical almost. I mean, you had Clara Ward, and you had Mahalia Jackson.
Yeah,
and
it was just
the Davis sisters.
Yeah,
yeah, the Caravans.
Now, is this fictional, or is this real, or was this based off of real folk?
It's in part both.
Okay.
The director and writer and director, David Bell, penned it from his experiences with the Harlem Gospel Singers when they were touring internationally and nationally, as well as some of his family members. So it's fictional and non-fictional, but it hits home with everybody. And the music was written by Robert Deason. It was all original music, but he stayed true to that time and to that period. It's just, it's phenomenal.
Wow.
And we do have some traditional pieces in the play too. Mm. Along with the originals.
Yes.
But the original songs are basically to forward the story.
Mm-hmm.
And we use the performance pieces. We use traditional gospel.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm from the South, and it's something that no matter what your background in faith is, you just know gospel.
I mean,
you could be raised Buddhist in the South. You could be raised Muslim. You can be anything, but you know gospel music.
Yes.
And you understand that this music is so important to American music.
Yes.
Did you guys walk away with that understanding? Because that's one piece that I always thought about when people deal with gospel, is how gospel music informed everything that's popular. You know, all the soul artists kind of came from a gospel
the
background.
The beginning. Mm-hmm.
And even like if you look at Ray Charles, like, and this is a time when Ray Charles was doing that was a bit sacrilege at the time, mixing those gospel melodies with the pop melodies. Did you guys kind of get that history from this as well?
Well, you know, I just always feel like it's the beginning. You know, it's like everything came from basically gospel. And it seems like everybody get it. You know, it's just universal.
Absolutely.
Because it's real.
Yeah.
It's real. It's honest. Mm-hmm. And it's simple.
Mm.
I think the simplicity is what makes it so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, what parallels, and I want to come to you, Ms. Latrice Pace, what parallels that you see now? Because we see so many, we think, you know, we just look at the Trayvon Martin case.
Yeah.
And we think that so many things have changed, but we know that we've got a long way to go as a country. What contemporary, did you see any parallels with what you were doing to what some young women who are out there right now performing are doing right now?
Not really, right off my head, not really, because back then it was such a struggle. And now we've advanced so that people really aren't really struggling that much in the industry. I think that's why they don't really have a great appreciation for what's in front of them, because they haven't really had to work hard for it. It's something about going the long way. When you go the long way, you have a greater appreciation for where you are.
That's right.
A lot of people now, everybody has a single. Everybody got a song on iTunes. Everybody have a studio in their kitchen or in their basement. There's no struggle. You know, there's no going without to try to figure out, you know, how am I going to feed my family? Am I going to stay here with my children, or am I going to go out and hit this road? Back then, it wasn't an option.
Right.
That was what they had to do. Now people got two income homes and all. There's no struggle. So I don't really know if I see any parallels. You may do, but right off the top of my head, I don't.
No, and also, I mean, I hear it in the music.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'll just say, you know, I can just hear people not being hungry.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they're just giving out what's convenient.
Yeah.
And not that they have to do it.
Yeah.
Right. That you know, some machine's going to get behind it and make it work anyway.
Yeah.
Mm.
But a lot of times, even performances, I just don't see the hunger.
Yeah.
The desperation. It just does something. Even when we listen to the jazz artists, you know, you hear them, you know, hungry.
Yeah.
You know,
you feel
hit it and get paid.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. That's right. You hear it in the lyrics. Like, that now lyrics are now, it's so popcorn.
Right.
It's like, what?
They don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah, you have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, and you know, that's funny that you say that too, Ms. Corelli. And if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with the cast of Shaking the Rafters. But it's interesting that you say that, Ms. Corelli, because when you look at the times now, I mean, an artist now, even if you're an indie artist, you can get a room at the Marriott.
Yeah.
But back then, you had to, there was no place to even sleep, and you had to sleep in your car.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of went for a long time.
A long period of time.
I mean, because Motown, they have stories like that
when
you're talking about sleeping on that bus. But I also want to talk about the female aspect and the camaraderie that sisterhood that had to be born out of that struggle.
Yes.
Talk about that piece, and do you think that this is something that is lending that type of image to women and that inspiration to women in Atlanta in particular?
Yes, and the thing about it is all the sisters are different. They all have different personalities, but they have they find something that they have in common just as artists.
Mm.
You know, and sometimes, you know, even as singers, I kind of noticed that female vocalists, it'd be great if, you know, we all come together. Mm. It seemed to be a thing that doesn't happen as often as musicians get together.
Right.
You know, and I think that's very important, too, that the play shows how we work together as women. And even though her dreams are different, she want a husband and kids, you know, we got to take care of the husband and kids. We got to help with the home. I mean, so it's important that she has her own dreams too, but at the same time, you know, you got to have things that we can come together on.
Yes.
I love working with these women were very easy to work with, you know, that old thing about, you know, women don't
yeah
but I, no problem and you got different generations because I mean, we have the youngest sister, which is in her 20s.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the youngest sister to me. So we're crossing over generations of women. And then I have stuff to offer, and she has stuff to offer. I watch her, and, you know, I'll say, well, what do you think about so-and-so? She said, well, yeah, well, try this, you know. And then I remember one time she was doing a run, and Patrice asked her, she said, oh, you're doing a run. Oh, I hadn't heard that one. Then she pointed at me and said, yeah, but she up here. I got to do something because she up here.
And it's like the word says, iron sharpens iron. It's like we glean from each other. Like it was encouraging one day when Chandra said, I like what you did with that song. Or she come off the stage, I'm like, you did that, girl. And it takes nothing away from you to compliment somebody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or to lift them up and to build them up. You were just saying something that made me realize we have four different women off stage with four different stories.
Yeah.
Like with your background, both of our background being gospel, but then you're in the jazz genre and film and television. Adrian, Broadway and theater. Dee Woods from the
hip-hop.
R&B industry. And me from gospel. It's amazing how we're able to glean from one another to make this piece really work.
And it kind of shows at the end of the day, it's all about the core. You were talking about all these different genres, but at the end of the day, it's all about that core in each genre and that that feeling, the heart, the soul, that thing that you can't put your finger on, that exists in hip hop and soul and blues and gospel and jazz.
Yes.
And I think you guys encapsulate that. And it's just a beautiful concept to put four women from different backgrounds together to play these wonderful Davis sisters. So God bless both of you and this play, Shaking the Rafters, which is running all the way to August 4th.
August 4th. Mm-hmm. But I want to give a shout out to the men. I don't want to leave out the guys.
Talk about the guys.
don't just let us, you know, just sit around.
We got Lopper Young.
Javaris Myrick.
Wonderful, wonderful. Shout out to fellas. Come on, don't let us just
sit on the
side.
And they're fabulous, too. and they let us do our thing, you know, and they know how to handle us. And then what I mean by that is they're smart.
Yes.
They gotta be hanging with you guys. They gotta be. Well, again, we're talking about the play Shaking the Rafters. If they want to find out more information, they can go to www.truecolorstheater.org. And again, I just want to congratulate both of you for all the moves. You know, I've seen both of you in the past 2 or 3 months on television. Chandra, I saw you on the Tyler Perry special on OWN. And Latrice, of course, I saw you guys on OWN as well with Ayanla. And I think you were just on Bravo. Were you just on Bravo?
I was just on Lifetime. Supermarket Superstar.
Lifetime.
And she won.
And you won. Yes, congratulations.
She didn't tell us either. I mean, she's been with us for like a week.
I couldn't. Or I would have been disqualified.
Yeah. Okay. Come on.
Why I screamed.
Yes, exactly. But thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you. And love your show.
Love it.
Thank you. You're the best. Yeah.
Play
best thing
music
to happen to Atlanta.
Thank you. You know what? I'm going to get out of here with a group of sisters, and we were just talking about them, Chandra, the Perry sisters.
Yes.
Who actually sang backup for Anita Baker.
Anita Baker.
And we're going to play one written by our good friend Raymond Jones. They call this one Feel So Good. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless.